Well, hello and a very warm welcome to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with Free Super Tips. I'm Dave Clark, he's Steve Palmer. Steve, lovely to see you virtually this time. HR have been informed there was far too much physical contact between the two of us in that studio for our last show. How was Christmas?
Merry Christmas, Dave. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Christmas was great. Christmas was great. I don't know what day it is. No one knows what day it is now, do they? This is the period where you don't know what day it is. You don't know what year it is. Is it 2024? Is it 2025? Is it 2026? But what we do know is that the golf is back soon. It's been a very short break, hasn't it, Dave?
It has. It has. And we'll look back and then we'll look forward and we'll look right forward across the whole year as well, because you're going to provide us with a majors acca as well, which I'm looking forward to. I know it's in today's Racing Post, and I've tried to avoid that as well, to be pleasantly surprised by
whoever. You want the surprise? No, you'll get the surprise, Dave. You'll get the surprise.
We've got a tournament to preview as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you're feeling. I mean, it feels like the shortest break we've ever had between seasons. And I feel like we needed a longer break, because the last fortnight of 2024 action was a real roller coaster ride, wasn't it? We had the Casey Jarvis debacle, then we lost by a shot in the Grant Thornton, and then Christo the Lord. The Mauritius Open. We'll discuss the Mauritius Open.
So the fat bloke came down the chimney. What did he bring you, Steve?
Oh, the fat bloke came down the chimney, brought me some cracking stuff, yeah. I've got a Luke Littler shirt, which I'm wearing proudly now. My lady wife bought me a new shirt. I was overcome with emotion when I got that.
So you've abandoned the green machine?
Well, this is it. I mean, I've had a lot of comments over Christmas, because I've basically been wearing this until the body odor gets too much, and then I give it a quick wash and then put it back on again. Because it's very tight fitting, actually. So I've had a lot of comments over Christmas from people saying how fickle I am. I've abandoned Michael Van Gerwen, but I have backed Michael Van Gerwen to get to the final, so I haven't entirely abandoned him. But it's just the way life goes, isn't it? Phil Taylor was my hero, won me an absolute fortune. Then Michael Van Gerwen won me a fortune. And time moves on, Dave. You know, in our game, you've got to be pretty, not fickle, but you've got to be ruthless.
I agree. Listen, very simple stocking fillers. There you go. There's one.
Oh, yes.
And there's two. Simple guy. It's so easy, Steve.
I don't know whether the viewers can see Muhammad Ali over your shoulder. Was that a present, or was that you bought that yourself?
No, it wasn't a present as well. Yeah, I'm a massive, massive boxing fan as well. So the West Ham stuff is still present. It's just been shuffled down the wall a little bit.
No, I'm not surprised. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
The less said about that, though, the better, I think, at the moment. Right, let's look back then, Steve, before we get stuck into the week ahead and the year ahead as well with the majors acca. Mauritius Open, John Parry. What happened?
Yeah, John Parry, a 22-1 winner, a final round 64, a 6-under par back nine. That was his first DP World Tour victory since 2010, so a massive gap between drinks. But he had been playing really well on the Challenge Tour. He won three times on the Challenge Tour in 2024. We were on him in the Dunhill Links in October, you might remember, at 200-1 because of that great Challenge Tour campaign he's had. So he's a 38-year-old in the form of his life. You know, in the olden days, you peaked in your mid-30s as a golfer, and he's going the traditional route. He's never been playing better. I just wish he'd had a quiet Sunday in Mauritius. Yeah, obviously had an amazing Sunday in Mauritius, but had he had a quiet one, we might have finished the year with a 60-1 winner, Dave. I don't know how closely you were following that.
I wasn't at all. It was too much happening in my house.
Well, it was nearly the perfect Christo present, because Christo Lamprecht almost won just before Christmas. I mean, yeah, we could have had all sorts of fun with that. I'm almost more gutted about the lack of headline opportunities than the financial the financial implications. But yeah, Christo Lamprecht, the giant South African that we were quite excited about. He made a double bogey in round one, made a double bogey in round two. But he stayed in the thick of things. He's only one shot behind going into the weekend, because he's making so many birdies, made an eagle too. It was a classic African adventure, another roller coaster, a bit like Jarvis. So he looks the man to beat in the early stages of round three. Then he makes a triple bogey at the sixth hole in round three. Then he closed round three with three consecutive bogeys. So he's gone from, you know, in the van seat to 15th place. So I think, right, the roller coaster is over, Dave. I think, okay, I can move into Sunday, forget about it. Then he plays brilliantly on Sunday, rockets up again. We're back on the roller coaster. Gets tied for the lead. And then Parry birdied 16 and 18 to leave our man in second. So, yeah, I'm glad you didn't watch it, Dave, because it would have been pretty heartbreaking for you. But, yeah, Christo Lamprecht, what a player. But, yeah, a bit raw still.
Well, you did text me that Lamprecht was going to save Christmas, and then I saw the result and he didn't, so I just parked it, and I thought,
He closed with a 65. And yeah, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry because he played so well. And but yeah, we move on. Yeah, we can't look back in anger. Don't look back in anger, Dave, because
absolutely.
Yeah, 2025 beckons.
Now we start with a really, really good comp here, Steve. The Century, formerly known as the Tournament of Champions. I think I'm right in saying this used to be, you had to be a winner on the tour in the previous year to be in. But have they brought in, the field's bigger now, they've brought in the top 50 in the FedEx as well.
Yeah, you're right. It used to be the Tournament of Champions under various sponsors, but they can't call it that now because the field is expanded. Yeah, you finish in the top 50 of the FedEx and you get in. There's all sorts of other criteria that gets you in now. So they just wanted more people to be in the tournament because, yeah, there were plenty of players that spurned the opportunity to play. So it's very small field and you know, a little bit dull. So, yeah, we've got a field of 60 going to post. No cut. They'll all play 72 holes. It's the Plantation Course at Kapalua, Maui, Hawaii. 7,596 yards, par 73, 4 par 5s, only 3 par 3s. The traditional home of the PGA Tour's curtain raiser. A power hitter's paradise. The fairways are like airport runways. 7 holes are longer than 500 yards. The final hole is 680 yards long. The greens are the biggest on the tour. And we must mention the course was renovated after the 2019 edition just to make it firmer and faster. New grasses. The scoring dipped for a year, but then it just became a birdie fest again. 34 under par won this in 2022, Cameron Smith. So, yes, it's going to be an absolute birdie fest because the weather forecast is great. You know, I'd love to be in Hawaii. Sunny, warm, pleasant conditions all 4 days. Breezy Thursday, calm thereafter.
Yeah, this is a tournament that I would be all over. If I was a player, I'm in. If I've qualified, I'm going to Hawaii. Nice conditions. Yeah. I'm very reluctant to call any tournament a putting contest, Steve, but I do feel like this has the makings of one. I was reading about last year's winner, Chris Kirk, who was a 29-under champion, but he only ranked 40th for distance off the tee and 30th for accuracy. And that tells me what you've just said there. Just send it. It doesn't matter really where it goes, just send it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think short game skills is the key here because these dance floors are enormous and you know, chipping around them and putting well on them, I think, is the key to success. Your Jordan Spieths have been very successful here, your Patrick Reeds, your Cameron Smiths, you know, short game artists. So, yeah, you need to have a short game to survive here for sure.
Okay, right. Well, you mentioned Cam Smith, 34 under. I mentioned Chris Kirk, 29 under. John Rahm, 27 under. Harris English, 25 under. What do you think the score's going to be?
I think the score's going to be 28 under par. Yeah. Because the outlier is the 2020 event. When we get on to discussing Justin Thomas, I think Justin Thomas has been very popular in the market. And he won in 2020. We'll discuss that tournament because I think it was the outlier.
14 under. Right, let's give you the market then. Good field. Real good field. Xander Schauffele, he's around about 13 to 2, 6 to 1. Corey Morikawa, 12s. Justin Thomas is available at 12s if you shop around. Ludwig Eybuer, 16s. Patrick Cantlay is 18s if you shop around. And, you know, sort of 20 to 1 bar beyond those. Really good field here, Steve. How many have we got in the team this week?
Just two, Dave.
Just two. Okay. Right. Are we venturing anywhere near the top of the market as well?
No. Mid-range.
Okay. Right. Who is the pick then?
Number one pick is Sahith Theegala. 28 to 1 best price as we record this at 10 a.m. on whatever day it is and whatever year it is. Sahith Theegala nearly won this tournament for us 12 months ago. I hate to bang on about near misses like your Christo Lamprecht. But Theegala, we were on at 66 to 1 last year, Dave. And I was really happy with how 2024 went as a whole, but there's, you know, lots of near misses that could have made it even better. And you know, we were so close to starting the year in spectacular fashion. He lost by a shot to the aforementioned Chris Kirk. You know, Chris Kirk, a big outsider, defeated Thigala by a shot. And the reason we got such a big price about Thigala last year was because he was tailed off on his century debut in 2023. But first-timers have got a terrible record at this track, Dave. It's a quirky course. So much roll on the fairways. Very hard to work out your sight lines, your target lines, when you've never been there before. So first-timers really struggle. Only two of the last 25 events at Kapalua have been won by a debutant. So wasn't worried about Thigala's failure first time round. He returned in much more confident fashion in 2024. Clear runner-up. Well-suited to this assignment for me. He's got those magic fingers that you need here. His short game skills are top-notch. Brilliant natural putter. Field player, shot maker, you know, the crazy dimensions of this course excite Saki Thigala rather than intimidate him. And his main weakness, Dave, his main weakness is not a serious issue at Kapalua. Can hit the odd wild drive. Thigala can hit the odd wild drive. Significant margin for error off the tee at the Century. He's excellent on approach. He finished eighth in the Hero World Challenge on his last start as an individual. And he's a young, hungry buck, Dave. Which I think is a point worth making because you know, we're starting on January the 2nd. They're teeing off on January the 2nd. It's such an early competitive outing. Many players in this field would be rusty. They've been on their holidays. You know, a lot of them still digesting their Christmas puddings. A lot of them will have New Year's Eve hangovers. Yeah, so this is just a gentle loosener for many, many players. But Thigala, eager for a second PGA Tour title, eager for a first signature event win. We must mention this is a signature event, massive prize money on offer. Thigala was second in the RBC Heritage, you'll remember, in April, another signature event by the coast. So I think he's motivated. I think he's ideal for the course. I think he's a fantastic each-way investment.
Good stuff. We like the motivation there. Always, that's a big player. Big player when you're trying to find the winner. Although it's a big pot of money here, Steve. Are they not all a little bit hungry for that though?
Well, if you've got loads of dough, you're not hungry for the dough. If you're just starting out in your career and you are hungry for the dough, it's like you, Dave. You're a young buck. You're hungry for the dough. That's why you're coming in on your day off today to do this. That is true commitment. Would Xander Schauffele come in on his day off? I don't think he would.
Okay. Right. Here's the first pick then, Thigala. Who else we've got in the team?
Akshay Bhatia. 35-1 best price as we live and breathe. Thigala has just turned 27. His best years are still ahead of him. Bhatia, he turns 23 in a month's time. Very, very young buck, this one. So I think his best years are clearly still ahead of him. These are two of the brightest youngsters on the PGA Tour, both blessed with enormous natural talent. Bhatia got off the mark on the PGA Tour by winning the 2023 Barracuda. Then he added a second title in April this year, in the Texas Open. Both of those victories in playoffs, Dave, you know, he showed real guts under pressure, this lad. And the win which kickstarted his pro career came in January 2022 on the Korn Ferry Tour in the Bahamas. That was his first full season on the Korn Ferry Tour, and he won his first event on a tropical island. That's the point I like to make. You know, that was in the Bahamas, an early clue that he likes island golf, and then we've had further evidence of that since. He loves teeing up by the coast. He loves the terrain, the breeze, the shot-making artistry required at most coastal venues. He nearly successfully defended that Bahamas title on the Korn Ferry in 2023, finished fourth in that. He was second in the Puerto Rico Open on the PGA Tour later that year. And his last start, the Hero World Challenge, which I know you were watching because you were very impressed with him, was in the Bahamas, of course. And he finished fourth in that on his debut in the World Challenge. And then he went to the Grant Thornton. I don't know whether you're watching the Grant Thornton pairs event, mixed pairs event. And he partnered Jennifer Kupko in that. And they finished third. So Bhatia played well in that. And he was second. He was second in the Dunlop Phoenix on the Japan Tour prior to the Hero. So he finished last year or this year, whatever we are on this godforsaken calendar, he finished 2-4-3. His final three events of whatever. So, yes. And the final point. Sorry, Dave. Final point. He made his century debut last year. We've already talked about how hard it is. And he finished 14th. He was actually doing really well. The final round, 71, dropped back a bit. But he fell in love with his course. It's ideal for him. So a two-pronged attack on two natural young flair players who are ideally suited to this course.
You know I'm a big fan, Steve, so I'm all in.
Yeah, brilliant. Are you going to back both of them? I like to... Yeah, you need a lot of convincing to part with your partner.
I know your main pick is the Gala, but I'm probably going to have a bigger wager on Battier. I think he's a player I'm just going to keep backing. You know,
if you get Dave Clark to part with his hard-earned, he normally only parts with his hard-earned on four-legged animals. if you can get him to part money on a two-legged human, then you've made a really good case.
Right, let's have a look at the rest of the field then. Those at the head of the market. No love for Xander Schauffele, Steve. You're telling me that maybe he's not hungry enough?
I don't think he's hungry enough. I mean, he hasn't played since the Zozo Championship. That finished on October 27th. And then obviously, after such a fantastic year, winning two majors, et cetera, every right to just down tools completely, you know, physically and mentally. I mean, you know, Xander likes a drink. He likes a cigar. I expect Christmas was a riotous affair for him. I don't think he's going to come back all guns blazing. He's already won this tournament, so there's not a lot of motivation. So a gentle loosener for him. You know, my two picks played in both the World Challenge and the Grant Thornton. So a small break for them, you know, a bigger break than we got, Dave, but a small break for them. So my boys aren't rusty. Schauffele probably is rusty.
What about Justin Thomas, who's been quite well backed already for this event?
Yeah, I can understand the money. He's won this in 2017 and 2020. We mentioned that 2020 edition. It was the first after the new grasses were laid. The grasses were settling in. Everyone was struggling to putt. And 14 under par topped the leaderboard. I think, as we've discussed, you're going to need double that. I think 28 under par is the sort of mark. Can Justin Thomas putt well enough to get the 28 under par? We've got three really good scoring days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think the Thomas putter might deny him that. And I don't think he would have practiced much since the Hero. He did play in the Hero and he played well, but just become a father, of course, for the first time. I think he would have thrown himself into Christmas as a dad. And there was just enough negatives, but I can see the temptation. Prefer Justin Thomas to Colin Morikawa. Have we discussed Colin Morikawa?
No, he was next on the list.
Next on the list. Yeah. Colin Morikawa. This tournament means a lot to him. So I think he'll apply himself more. He probably has been working on his game over New Year to get ready for this, because lots of roots from his family tree are in Hawaii, lots of ancestry. There used to be a Morikawa family restaurant in Kapalua. I think it unfortunately burned down. There was a fire. And the Morikawa family restaurant went with it. But he had a great chance to win this in 2023. Do you remember the 2023 edition, Dave? He was six shots clear with a round to go and didn't get the job done. So loads of scar tissue at Kapalua. And I don't think the layout is ideal for him. You know, we're looking for power hitters with a razor-sharp short game. That's not the Morikawa modus operandi, is it? So, I think Thomas is the only one of those market leaders I was tempting. And then I'm guessing you're going to want to talk about Ludwig Auber, who's always tempting.
Yeah, what a player. Well, let me... Them two players, Justin Thomas and Ludwig Auber, give me the Steve Palmer spread on how many tournaments the pair of them, individually, of course, will win in 2025.
It's a great question. I think Justin Thomas will win two, and I think Ludwig Auber will win three. And I think Ludwig Auber at 16-1... Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you if you have that bet. I'm just going to say, fair enough. I prefer my two, but I think it's fair enough because this is not his century debut. He played there last year, closed with a 63. He was tailed off, closed with a 63 and finished 47th. But he's made a bright comeback from knee surgery, I think you'll agree, Dave. He's looked good since his return, given the circumstances of how long he's been off. So, yeah, I think Thomas and Auber, I can understand if you want to back him, but I prefer my two.
Yeah. A good film. Looking forward to it. I'll be watching. What sort of start time are we looking at for this one, Steve?
Oh, blimey. Yeah. You need to pace yourself during the day if you're going to stay up for this one. Yeah, I think 6 o'clock kickoff, 6 p.m. kickoff on Thursday, but then obviously goes on for ages. It's a real test of character, this one.
Well, listen, if my man Battier is up there, I'll be there, bang there. The WhatsApps will be pinging. We'll be flying. Right, let's move forward then to... the bit I've been looking forward to, as I mentioned, I've kept myself away from today's Racing Post, which has got your majors ACCA in it. And we're going to go through them now. But before we get to that, if 588 8.44 points is the answer. What is the question?
Oh, points profit in 2024 on outright golf tips. Yeah, yeah, no, it's been a good year,
incredible.
Dave. Thanks, Dave. No, I appreciate that. It's very kind of you to mention, but I thought we were going to threaten the record. The record is 713 points in 2018. So, 2018 still is the benchmark, but yeah, we'll have a good go in 2025. Who knows what we're capable of, Dave?
Oh, listen, brilliant, mate. I know you're very passionate about your P&L. 588 points is remarkable from tournament to me. Golf betting is hard, Steve. You do realise that golf betting is hard. So, wonderful.
Yeah,
it's
valid. It's a test of fortitude.
Nick Dunlap, the highlight, surely.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. The highlight is always the doubles. We've had a double in each of the last 2 years. A number one pick winning the same day. So, if we can get another transatlantic double in 2025, we'll be laughing our socks off. But the doubles don't count towards those. They're all done on the singles. The profit loss figures. So I think we're going to have a good year. I'm feeling good. I need Luke Littler to win the darts final to kickstart me. It's always good because I had Luke Humphreys last year. It always gives you a real sort of kickstart. Look at that. I've never done that before. That's brilliant, isn't it?
On with the darts. Before we get into the majors, Acker, you know, it's a big time of year for you. I know you love your darts. It's quite evident in the apparel for this show. how you been getting on?
It's been going well. Yeah, the good thing was Wessel Niemann. Remember the stalk? I was excited about the stalk getting from the other half of the draw. He went out so early. It gave me a chance to get back in bed with me old man, Michael van Geerwen. So I backed him to get to the final and Luke Littler to win it. So if I can get Luke Littler beating Michael van Geerwen in the final, then it couldn't have gone much better. But so I'm glad the stalk went out early. How are you getting on with the darts, Dave? It's going well, isn't it?
I love it. You know, I'm not a massive punter on it. I just love watching it and enjoying it. And, you know, Peter Wright was brilliant, absolutely brilliant against Luke Humphreys. And, you know, halfway through the match, I just thought, Luke Humphreys looks a little bit resigned, like he was already going to get beat to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of pressure on the defending champion there. And, Peter
Wright.
There was
like this fabricated needle between them, which wasn't really needle, it didn't feel like.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was a few unnecessary comments in the lead-up, yeah. So I think maybe it affected Humphreys more than Peter Wright. But that to me, looks like your classic Peter. You know, when a darts player wins a match, they're not expected to win. They invest so much into it and they're crying afterwards. Next time out, they're normally poor. So I think Peter Wright...
There used to be a great stat. Any player that beat Phil Taylor in any tournament, back on to get beat in the next round.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's it. I think that happens in sport in general. I mean, I don't know whether we discussed Weymouth beating Yeovil in the FA Trophy the other day. We went to Yeovil. We're getting off piece, but who cares? It'll be 2025 by the time we finish this. We went to Yeovil and beat them in their own patch, 2-1 in the FA Trophy, and we'd invested so much in that, my team Weymouth FC, that we haven't fully recovered from that yet. Yeah, when you put it all in, and there's not much left. So yeah, I don't think Peter Wright's going to be a factor going forward, but we shall see. Now, Luke Littler beats Michael van Gerwen in the final. Thank you very much.
Job done. Right, majors, Acker then. Masters, the USPGA, US Open, and the Open itself. We're going to go in that order?
Yes, sir. Chronological order.
I know you like to keep your house in order chronologically. Right, let's start with the Masters. Before you give us the pick, what's the feel around the Masters this year?
Well, I mean, a lot of people say it's the greatest tournament of the year. You know, I'm an old traditionalist. I still prefer the Open Championship, even with all the vagaries of the weather. But the Acker this year, because you remember we had two of the four last year. The Acker, I can't say we almost nailed it last year, but it was like a million to one and we got halfway. We've got two of the four. So this Acker actually only pays 6,749 to one. So it's got a live chance. You've backed greyhounds that have won at that price, I'm sure, or tricasts maybe. Tricasts.
The Masters: Scottie Scheffler 9-2, McIlroy 10s, John Rahm 12s, Ludvig Åberg 16s. Who is your pick then?
The pick is Scottie Scheffler. And he was in our Acker last year at 9-1 for the Masters. We're not going to get 9-1 for the Masters this year. We're going to get 4-1 generally. But that's more than fair given the golf he's produced in 2024. signed off from 2024 with a six-shot victory in the Hero World Challenge. That was his ninth title of the year. He's almost certain to start his Masters title defence as an emphatic favourite. And this hand injury, yeah, people have been asking me about the hand injury he sustained at Christmas. Am I worried about it? I actually see it as a positive. He hurt himself cutting the Christmas turkey. Did you hear about this, Dave? Scheffler injured his hand on some glass. I don't really know what happened. Maybe he had one.
Is it true? Could it have been a fabricated story to have a bit of time off?
Well, if it is fabricated story, it's genius. But he's had surgery on the hand because there's some glass stuck in it. I wouldn't like to question Scotty Scheffler. He's a man of God. I don't think you're allowed to lie when you're a man of God.
Right. Okay. So he's genuinely injured. Yeah.
Well, I'd imagine he's had a few tinctures because we all overbeer over Christmas at certain points, don't we? I've been guilty of that, and I think Scotty Scheffler was probably guilty of that. And he's injured his hand, but it's actually going to force him to take January off, I think. I mean, there's talk of him coming back for the American Express. I wonder whether he'll make that. I'll be pleased if he doesn't. If he takes January off, that's a positive for me. He keeps him fresh for April. You know, the Masters are not till April. He can come back, ease his way into it, and be peaking for the Masters in April. So his Masters form figures, Dave, 19, 18, 1, 10, 1. Comfortable victories in 2022 and 2024. So I think he's going to complete the hat trick in 2025. There's only three other players that have done that. Jack Nicklaus, Nick Faldo and Tiger Woods. So he's joining an elite club, successfully defending the crown is the club he's in there. Not many people successfully retain the green jacket, but I think that's what's going to happen. I don't see anyone challenging him.
He is around about 9-2 top price. Let me ask you, in the peak of his powers, what price was Tiger Woods going off to win the Masters?
Yeah, shorter than that. And I mean, we've seen, we've obviously seen Tiger-like performances from him for such a long time now. So, I think he deserves these short prices, and we just got to weigh in with it. And I don't think Scheffler is going to make much impact in the final three majors of the year. Because he's got so little course experience at him. So I think he's going to win the Masters, and then I think he'll move aside for the other three majors.
Right, well, let's get on to them, and we'll start with, as you say, chronological order, the PGA, USPGA Championship. Scottie Scheffler, 11-2. Rory's at 9s. Xander Schauffele, 12s. John Rahm, 16. Who do you like?
Rory McIlroy. Come on. Come on, Rory McIlroy. We're at Quail Hollow in May for the USPGA. You know, McIlroy, the early months of the year, the Masters build-up's long, it's intense, he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders with the career Grand Slam talk, the elusive green jacket. When you get to May, it's like he takes a deep breath, like, oh, okay, I haven't won the Masters, forget about the Masters for a bit. The USPGA, I love the USPGA, he's won the USPGA twice before. Then it just becomes a case, still a significant hurdle he's got to overcome. He's just talking about ending the major winning drought. Yeah, the major winning drought's gone on for a decade. The perfect place to end that drought is Quail Hollow. Quail Hollow is his happy place. I think I've heard him actually use those words before. A bit like Happy Gilmore. Do you remember in Happy Gilmore? Where Happy Gilmore has to go to his happy place when he's getting too wound up. And then he goes to his happy place. And then he comes out, he calms down, he plays great golf. Rory McIlroy's happy place is Quail Hollow. His maiden PGA Tour title came at Quail Hollow. He's won four times there. His last PGA Tour title came at Quail Hollow. Some of them have been like emphatic victories, margins of victory, 4-7-1-5. So I think he's going to get so far ahead through three rounds of this that you're not going to have those concerns. I mean, the US Open is still fresh in our memories. Rory still thinks about the US Open. You know, that was a close contest and he faltered at the finish. I think he's going to give himself a lovely cushion at Quail Hollow because this is his track. He owns Quail Hollow. Scottie Scheffler never plays Quail Hollow. He only played it in the President's Cup. He doesn't play in the Wells Fargo. So I think, I'm so excited about getting halfway to our ACCA through, two of the best players in the world, maybe the two best players in the world.
I can tell. Yeah, you're not just fancying McIlroy, you're actually telling us how he's going to win it as well. Clear off the three rounds and then he gets home. Right, let's move on to the US Open. Steve, where's this one being played?
We're at Oakmont Country Club, Pennsylvania, and the US Open will be retained by Bryson DeChambeau. 14-1 is out there about Bryson DeChambeau, who has already become a modern great of the US Open. He won his first US Open in 2020 at Wingfoot. You must remember, you know, muscle-bound DeChambeau, the brute from the rough. Everyone else struggling in the rough that week. It didn't affect him because he's so powerful. And then he won his second US Open in June. He's had an excellent majors campaign this year, actually. He was sixth in the Masters. He was runner-up in the USPGA. The 2025 LIV schedule, I mean, it doesn't look like golf's going to be united anytime soon, is it? They're going to get another season of LIV. We're going to get another season of PGA Tour, the World Tour. They're not coming together. LIV Golf HQ is actually going to be the floor below ours in the Racing Post HQ. Did you know about that, Dave? LIV Golf have actually moved. They're in the process of moving in the level below the Racing Post. So LIV Golf are expanding. The 2025 schedule will go ahead, I think. And it's just nowhere near America. I mean, the winter and spring schedule in 2025, Saudi Arabia, Australia, Hong Kong, Singapore, South Korea. So there's no events in America early on. But from the second week of May onwards, DeChambeau can come back to the States and settle in the States. I think by the time of the US Open at Oakmont in June, it'd be ready to give a stout title defence and really eye-catching form in the last major played at Oakmont, the 2016 US Open. DeChambeau was playing in just his seventh tournament as a professional in that US Open. He was outside the top 200 of the world rankings. It was his first major as a pro, and he finished 15th. And bear in mind, he'd missed four of his previous five cuts coming into that event. So he's in poor form. He's got no experience, but he fell in love with Oakmont and finished 15th. So he obviously 9 years later, he's returning as a much more confident player, much better player. I think he gets a US Open hat trick.
Very strong case for him, mate. He's very quickly becoming one of the most popular players on the tour, isn't he? Because of a lot of the stuff he does on social media. I mentioned to you about his... when he's pinging it over his house every day. Also saw that he's going to be in Happy Gilmore 2 as well.
Is he? Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. I did not know that. No, I know he's your favourite player. You're always on the YouTube, aren't you? Your marriage is on the rocks because you spend all your life on YouTube watching Bryson DeChambeau. Social media can destroy relationships. But I didn't know he's going to be Happy Gilmore 2. I'm excited about that. It's coming out in March, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know when the release date is. I saw a picture of him with Adam Sandler, and you mentioned Happy Gilmore there, and it just reminded me that he's. I'm not sure what his cameo is in it, whether it's a big part or not, but he is.
That is the best film. Best film ever made. Like, whenever anyone asks me what's the best film ever, I always say Happy Gilmore number one, Top Gun number two. I'd love to see a film that's better. Maybe Happy Gilmore 2 will take over from Happy Gilmore as the better one, but it's unlikely, isn't it? The sequels never live up to the originals. I mean, I had to sit through Moana 2 the other day. That's absolutely...
Oh, yeah, I'm not a fan,
That is the worst. I mean, Vessel Neiman was going out of the World Championship while I was... I got in trouble by... I say you're in trouble with the YouTube. I was following Vessel Neiman's demise during
Moana.
In the cinema, didn't go down too well. If the film would be more captivating, maybe I would have forgotten about the stork. But I think Moana 2's rubbish. Hopefully Happy Gilmore 2 will be exceptional.
Right, we've got one more, haven't we? The Open.
Yes.
Right, let's have a look at the market then for the Open Championship. Where is it being played, Steve?
We're back at Royal Portrush, which you'll remember from 2019 when Shane Lowry ran away with it. And Shane Lowry, very tempting to, again, the hardest decision I had was in this tournament to be.
Well, I'll give you the market. Scheffler 6s, Rory 10s, Xander Schauffele 10s, John Rahm 16s. Wide open. I think Scottie Scheffler rightly is fab for all four events. But who is the pick here?
Xander Schauffele. That's a new pronunciation. We'll go with that one. 9-1 available at Xander Schauffele. Obviously, our hero in July, the king of Royal Troon. I think we're going to see three successful title defences in the majors to come. Schauffele has got a formidable majors record. Even before the two wins, he's won twice this year, two majors this year. But even before the wins, his consistency in majors was awesome. His Open record is excellent. He was second in the Open at Carnoustie in 2018. He won the Scottish Open in 2022. He relishes links golf, and he's got experience of Portrush from 2019. I mentioned Scheffler's got hardly any course experience at the final three major venues. Scheffler didn't play in 2019. People forget how quickly his ascent has been. But Schofield played in 2019, finished 41st, but dropped away over the final nine holes. Once his winning chance had gone, he seemed to zone out over the final nine holes. But he's definitely got the tools to handle Portrush. I struggle to see him out of the frame. I struggle to see Xander Schauffele out of the frame in any of the majors. I think he's the one that, if you want to back a player to finish in the top 10 in every major, there's all sorts of specials flying about. I think he's the most likely to be in the mix in all four. But I think he can bring home the anchor leg of our incredible acca. He can be the Roger Black. That might be before your time, but in my day, do you remember the Great Britain relay team, 400 metres? I used to love watching Roger Black bring home some medals in the anchor leg. I think.
Well, I was going to ask you, Steve, about obviously you've gone for four different players there, so you didn't fancy anyone.
No, it's compulsory. Well, that is compulsory, I'm afraid, Dave. You have to pick different ones. The bookies don't let you. Related contingencies. They don't let
really?
You.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if Scheffler wins the Masters, he's more likely to win, and he's in good form. He's more likely to win the next one. So, and the prices will move on the subsequent one. So, I can understand
what you could back like a team to win the FA Cup and the Premier League.
Can you? I don't know.
They're not directly related, surely. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think they are. I understand the bookmakers doing that, but what I will say, it's very rare for players to win more than one major in a year. I mean, it happened this year. Xander Schauffele did it. Brooks Koepka is the previous one in 2018, I think it was. So usually they're spread about. So for the purposes of a small stake player, a massive price, you can't get your knickers in a twist about the possibility of there being a double up. But yeah, I think Schofield's probably the most likely. Oh, a bit bilious there. Schofield's probably the most likely, or McIlroy, dare I say, might be the most likely, because Royal Portrush, if he wins the USPGA, Royal Portrush is a big runner there with a monkey off his back in the.
Let me tell you, if he wins the Masters, he'll win the lot.
I think if he wins the Masters, he'll win the USPGA, and then he'll be. Maybe have a McIlroy slam bet. Yeah.
Let me ask you then, Steve. You've given us the four there. Can I press you for your strongest of the four?
You can press me all you like, Dave. As long as you don't touch me, you can't touch me remotely, can you? Yeah, we've had the HR emails about that. The strongest of the four. Well, I mean, Scottie Scheffler to win the Masters, I'm afraid. Hate to be boring, but. That's the most likely one to happen of the four. I like the solidity of this bet. I don't really see any weaknesses there. Obviously, play
well, there'll be punters out there. I ask you that because, every week when you're having a little golf wager, you're putting up big prices. For small money, have them in a double with, Scheffler to win the Masters. And, if you can get something building up, it just makes it magical. Yeah.
Chelsea to win the FA Cup. You just mentioned the FA Cup. I think Chelsea win the FA Cup. So whack them in there. I think we've got some tools to play with there, haven't we? I mean, Bryson DeChambeau is the biggest price, but no, they're all got a great chance. But do them each way. I did notice one firm for the first time this year is offering a range of each way markets already on the majors. So you can play it like a fifth of 10 on a long-term bet. So get as many places as you can. Put them all together in your melting pot and we'll see what happens come July.
Marvellous. Right, let's have a roundup then. We'll start with the Century. Two selections there. Remind us who we're going for, Steve.
Sahith Theegala, Akshay Bhatia.
Right, we've covered the 2025 Majors Acca. I'll reel off the event and you can tell us who's going to be winning it. So
brilliant,
the 2025 Masters...
Scottie Scheffler.
The USPGA.
Rory McIlroy.
US Open.
Bryson DeChambeau.
And the Open.
Let's see what pronunciation we can go with here. Xander Schauffele.
And the PDC Darts World Championship.
Luke Littler. That would be great, wouldn't it, at the Darts, and they just announce it like they do at the Open. On the hockey, Luke Littler. And that was it. They just walked in silence.
change of tax from John McDonald there on the mic.
Yeah. I'll suggest that.
Steve, it's been an absolute pleasure. As I mentioned, once again, 588 points, 0.44 points in profit is remarkable, mate. So give yourself a big pat on the back. Absolutely sensational tipping this year.
Cheers, Dave. No, I appreciate that. Appreciate that. And yeah, we go again. We still got the hunger. Have you still got the hunger, Dave?
Yeah, always.
I've got a huge amount of hunger. So yeah, we get the darts out of the way on January the 3rd. Finishes on January the 3rd, and then we can concentrate on the golf.
Well, then we're back next week. Sony Open and a Team Cup in Abu Dhabi. What are your plans for tonight?
It's not a big one for me anymore, Dave. As a young man, it was huge for me. I used to get in fancy dress.
You've got young kids like me, yeah.
It's not. I'm about 66 to 1 to be awake at midnight. As I say, in the olden days, fancy dress. I had all sorts of, I went out as a Frisian cow, John Major. I went out as John Major once. I've gone for about 15 different outfits in my time. Then you go down Weymouth Town Centre. If you're young, everyone's out in fancy dress in Weymouth, and then you just sort of kiss whoever you can get your hands on. But my kissing days are over. My fancy dress days are over. So yeah, I'll be in bed by 8 o'clock getting ready for the darts, I expect. Like hopefully Luke Littler will be. I've got some party poppers. Oh. You're right. The kids like party poppers. I've got a party popper here, Dave, if you fancy it. Are you ready?
Go on.
That's quite scary, isn't it? There's a lot of fire. Do you know you've got to be over 16 to buy these? I got my daughter to go and get them from Tesco, but she couldn't because you've got to be over 16. I guess that's because of the fire element of them. There's smoke coming out of that.
I'm assuming so. Right, Steve, as I mentioned, it's been an absolute pleasure. We'll be back next week. Remember to gamble responsibly. Enjoy the golf, and we'll see you on the other side.
Happy New Year.